Asanya Mosaka
on 702.
702
for the curious.
It's already a buzz here in studio. It's 8 minutes past two. Welcome to 702 if you've just joined us, and you're just in time because we're about to bring you a masterclass. And today's masterclass is all about comedy. I have no idea how this hour is going to go. You know,
neither do we.
Neither do you. See, it's already begun. It's already begun. So I've got three comedians in studio. And we're going to be talking about the world of comedy, and we'll talk about what they'll be doing on stage, because I understand there's some shows coming up, creeping up in coming days, 3 days, counting down. But let me start off by introducing you to our guests, Tsitsi Chumia.
Silent Eye.
Silent Eye.
What?
Right. You didn't know that? You didn't know that?
I've never been in school and heard, yeah, the eye is silent. No, my name is Isaac.
So you're from Lebowakgomo?
Yeah, Lebowakgomo, Limpopo.
Yes,
yeah.
And you've just come off your one-man show?
Yeah, it was a little crazy. It was called So Naive, because, you know, like, coming from Limpopo, I was, like, naive of the expectations that I had about Johannesburg and the world. And, yeah, just telling the story, and it was really nice.
Yes.
And it's gonna air soon, so I'm really excited.
Nice. I just like when someone gives their own review that it was just it was short of saying it was lit.
I was amazing.
Precisely. Did you get that sense? Yeah. Welcome, Tsitsi. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. And then we also have Robbie Collins.
Hello.
Now, Robbie, you also wear two hats. You're an actor.
Yes.
Do you still do much acting?
Not really. There's not enough colored gangster roles on TV anymore.
Were you sick and tired of being typecast?
I've been shot so many times on TV.
You thought enough. Comedy's safer. You're able to finish a set.
I get shot for fun.
Yeah.
but I used to act and I write, but I still do both. But right now, comedy, the cool thing about comedy is you can generate your own work.
Yes.
Where you don't have to wait for scripts or new TV shows. You can, if you want to do a show, you can just, you build up material and go, I'm going to hit the road.
Yes.
So it's also, there's no limitations to it.
You're from Durban, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah. Durban, born and bred.
Yeah. Why are you rubbing his shoulder?
Durban, sure. I love Durban, but you know, this, like, apart from family, I wouldn't be able to go back. Mm. When you come to Joburg, it doesn't, like, I'm sure Tsitsi knows, coming from Limpopo, you can never go back to Limpopo.
No way.
No disrespect to Limpopo. But you know what I'm saying.
But Durban is actually kind of cooler than Limpopo, man.
Obviously, Durban's better than Limpopo. We got a beach. No, you can't go from jumping in Ubers to eating mangoes again.
No. It's just too hot. You know? I like the climate. Bobo,
the sun follows you.
Too hot, too humid. Well, welcome to Joburg.
Thank you.
Welcome to Joburg. How did you get that scar, Robbie?
Oh, let's go. Ooh,
he's got a scar on the side
story.
After I finished the show last year, August, it's been a year now.
Yeah.
Walked off stage, went to the garage. On the way back.
Where were you?
Tell in Braamfontein, of course.
Oh. Wow. I was there.
And you were there. Yeah. Yeah. Was there. Guy jumped me from nowhere for my phone and just started swinging with the knife. And then I caught 10 stitches in my face.
Yeah, it's just at the end of his lip, almost like the one-sided Joker.
It was crazy. It was just
half-faced Joker, I should say.
It was just for a phone. And I ran back to the comedy club, and then the car guards were outside. They know me. They didn't know what happened because they just saw I was covered in blood. Then they ran inside. They just screamed, Robbie's dead.
Yeah, we were so devastated. We're like, Robbie's dead. Why are we running outside?
The legend, you live. Here you are. Here you are. Great to have you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And you also have a one-man show.
Yes. Well, we all got shows.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Pop says his show, it's Black in My Day. Mm-hmm. And then mine is Iyeza. And Tsitsi's Iyeza. Yeah. That name I got from Robben Island. I went on a tour last year, and one of the political prisoners was doing the tour, and he told us that during lunch break, they would call it Iyeza. Instead of roasting, like we call it roasting or guaring, they called it a years end. It was a time when people could just joke, which I think also means healing and medicine. So when I heard that, I was like, that's what I'm going to call my next
show. It is, actually. Then you should listen or start your set with Tandiswa's song.
No. Don't do that.
Now you must substantiate why he can't start a set with that.
I don't know. Tandiswa sings very sad songs.
No, this is not sad because she's asking Ndixeliyeza. Because unenkathazo, so she goes to Amadlozi to ask for this medicine. You see,
I see.
Yes.
That will be maybe to end the show. You can't start. You need to get people hyped.
Right. We'll come to those elements in a short while. I must say, I attended a screening of a new film that's coming out soon.
An Ordinary People
is the name of the film. It's such an incredible documentary and about an area of life that you would not expect under that title. The world of spinning and the culture.
Car spinning.
And it's, not gym.
not spinning on a bicycle, cycling to nowhere. No.
And I swear, it was as if we were at a comedy set because you're part of the company, you're executive producer, and you, of course, introducing everybody. But it was like a round of applause on my feet.
Stop. No, but that's the thing. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And because a lot of times people are like, so this comedy thing, is it like, do you put it on? Do you have time? And I'm like, and I think it goes for the three of us that are in here.
Yeah.
There is no off button. You know, it's right. How we deal with anything. It's how we deal with, like, even when Robbie was telling the story about him coming. This is, first of all, Robbie's the most accident prone person. Like, you'll see, if you look closely, there's other scars, broken bones. I was once on scene after Robbie had a motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
And he'd just come from McDonald's.
He fell asleep.
He was tired. He fell asleep on his bike.
Wow.
Next thing,
how do you sleep
the car guards
bike?
Are calling me.
I can
me.
Imagine in a car, but how do you sleep riding a bike?
You and car guards. Car guards
love me. They unlocked my BlackBerry and called Pops.
Okay.
And then I woke up in hospital and Pops was eating my McDonald's.
So in other words, it's just life. It's just the way things are.
Yeah, this is who we are. There's no on and off button.
Yes.
If there's a button, it broke a long time ago.
So you're at the Gold Reef Lyric Theatre this weekend.
Yes. So I'm doing my one-man show, Black in My Day. It's the first time I'm touring a show.
Yes.
And the title is not as deep as Ieza. Hey. you had research, you went on a boat, you had to find it.
On a ferry.
Luke at the beginning of American Jazz.
I found a title.
Do you pay entrance fee to go to Robben Island?
Yeah, dude.
So you paid entrance fee to
get a title. Pretty much.
Pay to go to.
But yours is Black in My Day.
Mine is
so what
black
are you
in
now?
So
if you're not still black.
No. This is Black in My Day. As in like back in my day.
Oh, Black in My Day.
What it was like to be black in my day.
Right.
It's easy. It's nice to be black these days. Mm-hmm. But it was hard.
It was very
hard.
Our generation.
Why do I feel like we're about to break into we were so poor?
No. And this is one of the things I actually talk about in my show. I go, we grew up thinking we were poor.
Mm-hmm.
We were actually never poor. We were just broke.
Mm.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Our parents were denied certain opportunities. Therefore, we had to make do with the little that we had. So we were broke. And because we were broke, we were able to be creative with how we survived.
Yes.
You look back at what our parents raised us on. You know, when my mom tells me, I used to earn 300 rand a month, I'm like, how?
How? Yes. Were you how able you to do all those things?
Yes.
Yeah. I remember my brother actually cried when he saw my mother's payslip one time because he just couldn't believe how she could make it stretch the way she did.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's about I talk about those times and what it was like navigating that and navigating these two worlds.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Soweto, Zone 9, Middle.
Because in my mind, Robbie, I see Durban. When I see City, I see Lebowahome. When in
Joburg, there's no place. These guys, I would never go back.
You've been here.
But I'll come back any day.
I think the story is like Pops' title of the show. I think our generation of color were the first that started infiltrating the white schools and those things.
Yes.
So like Pops is saying, like when we talk about our experience, I think it might sound poor to some white people, but to us, you're like, yo, if you're a colored child or a black kid going to school in a white area, your family must have been doing well within the hood.
In that context,
but when you put yourself in the burbs, you know when you're scared to pull out your lunch because you're like, I can't.
It's so
now you have to explain what's a pincher.
It's a fish without a head swimming in a bowl. But the thing is, like, it's such a weird thing. I was having a tiff with a friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking, an argument. It's private schools, bro. But the thing is, like, a lot of, like, black people, when we make it, like, or people of color, rather, when we make it, it's like, or when you get to a point where you're comfortable, the first thing you say is, I grew up poor. And for me, it's like, it's an insult for people that, like, sacrifice so much for you to have.
Yes.
Because in the pyramid, like, they made sure you had food, right? So when you get to a point where a PlayStation is basic needs, then your kids are going to be like, we want the PlayStation 7.
Yeah.
But we only had a 4. We grew up poor.
Yeah.
But it's like such an insult to me because I gave them the 4, you know,
absolutely.
For my kids. You know,
and it's an insult to people who actually grew up poor.
Yeah.
No, because once it starts, it becomes as if a race to the bottom. But guys, let's get into this masterclass proper now.
Yes.
And I want to invite our listeners to give us a call. And especially those that fancy themselves to maybe have an innate gift, an innate talent. That maybe you could take a stab at comedy. We've got 3 people here who are no strangers to the stage. No doubt have been through all sorts of situations whilst doing their comedy on stage, who can give you the kind of advice that you might need in charting those waters and getting to where you need to be. So we're going to break down certain areas of what it is that they do. So, Mpo, earlier on, you said that this is just how you are, right? Mm-hmm. And I was listening to, Steve Martin, I think, and he was saying that he was absolutely talentless. So he seems to come from a position that anybody can have a crack at it.
Yes.
Anybody can do it. Like, if you have thoughts, if you can turn yourself into a thought machine, then you can do this. Do you agree?
I completely agree because I once had a conversation with one of my mentors, which is Lois Ogola. And Lois Ogola was saying to me, he was saying to me, someone like you, comedy comes easy because you're just naturally funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, with me, I have to work hard at it.
Oh.
So I have to literally write down my thoughts. Then I have to plan. Okay, cool. This is where I'm going to drop the punchline. This is how I'm going to build it up. I can't just go on stage and just start freestyling, go, oh, there's the joke, and then start working on it. I have to literally plan it and take into consideration my economy of words, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, this comedy can be constructed. As a performer, though, there are certain things you'll have to learn as you go along.
So even with your talent, there are things you've had to learn.
Yes, timing, delivery.
Pace,
callbacks, how to breathe.
What's a callback?
Callback is when you've mentioned something and then you go off and you carry on with your story. You do other, maybe
like
3, 4, 5 other jokes. And then on the 6th joke, you bring back that first joke. And then normally when the audience hear a callback, it also shows a thread in your story. So a callback just ties everything together.
Right.
You know what I mean? So because people naturally come to comedy thinking, I'm just going to hear jokes. But we at the level in our comedy where we do more than just crack jokes.
No,
we're storytellers.
Exactly. And I think that what's happening is absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful because comedians have, you're taking from all sorts of other areas and you are perfectly in the middle. That you're storytelling, you're telling a joke, you're doing news at the same time, you're doing analysis.
Yeah,
political analysis in some ways. You know, so you're drawing from all sorts of other areas. And then we sit there like, but that was my job. When you hear that before Pops is emceeing, it's like, Yeah. You were there at the summers. It's like
this sounds personal.
Not at all. But I just love the evolution of now the position that comedians are now holding. So do you guys agree that this is something you can develop, you can work on?
You know the best.
Who are you like? Are you like Mpo, it comes naturally, or are you more like Loiso?
The past year and a half, I haven't written down anything. Oh. I've literally just gotten up on stage every night and built a routine from mentally memorizing it and living in the moment. Because there's one thing, Dave Kabuka, Loiso Gore, like, they would always say to me, starting off, you need to be as much as yourself off stage, on stage.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, Trevor Noah, Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, you actually are in love with the person.
Mm.
We forget the jokes. You start falling in love with the comic on stage. You're like, I can't wait for Dave Chappelle to do this joke for me because I want to hear his opinion. And people start building a relationship with you where there's a trust. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like there's a guarantee, oh, this person's going to speak on my behalf. Because that's what you are doing essentially, is speaking your personal stories through people, and people will not laugh if they don't relate. You know what I mean? If they don't relate or agree with you, you're not getting a laugh. That's simply what it is. So there's the, like, dissecting a joke and working on it, and then there's the natural thing that a person has. Because some people are funny, and you hear the joke, and like, this is funny, but why isn't this person that famous or rich? But it's because they don't have that thing that just makes people, like, Trevor's a great example. Colored people think he's colored because he looks colored.
Mm-hmm.
Black people relate to him because his mother's black. White people relate to him.
He's one of us. He's black.
White people relate to him because his dad's, and then he's this good-looking dude who can speak different languages.
Yeah.
And he's talented.
Yeah.
So he automatically, he's a step up because everyone's going, that's my guy. That's my guy.
Do people mistake you for Trevor?
They used to, and then I got stabbed in the face.
Oh, man. They're like, Trevor, what happened? Is everything okay?
Yeah.
That used to happen, but not as much anymore. And they know he's overseas.
Like, so I guess
Trevor can't be in Melville, Trevor. So he lost 19 million.
So I guess it's the years that you've put in that allows you to now just stand on stage and be able to deliver material without a set. Or is it about new material? If you develop new material, then you have to be disciplined about it.
It's comfortability on stage.
And understanding people. Because the more you travel, you realize how races change within different regions of this country.
Yeah.
A colored person in Cape Town is totally different to a colored person in Durban.
Yes.
Afrikaans, colored people more in Durban are more exposed to Zulu. And you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all these small things. Black people change, white Afrikaners to white English people. So it's when you start realizing where you are, you know how to express yourself to those
and
people.
Acclimatize to that environment.
To that environment, right.
That's one of the things we were, like I was taught early by Chris Forrest, was he used to say to me, I need to be able to put you anywhere and you need to make people laugh. So immediately when you drop into an area, you can't do the same thing you do when you're in Joburg.
Yes.
Because
you were like in Kimberley. What did you do there?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes. So, for example, I was in Klagsdorp 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So I had to make certain, you were there.
I was there too, It was really nice.
So certain audiences.
So grateful to be out of Limpopo. So nice. Thank you.
So nice.
He should just review shows, his own shows especially.
Yeah. That show was not nice.
I give it 2 mangoes.
That was a callback.
Yeah. That's a callback.
That's a callback.
Got you.
Yeah. There we go.
That was a nice one as well.
Second callback.
It must be a riot when you guys are all together. Can you expect that? Probably crazy.
Yeah.
So, Tsitsi, Trevor Noah, speaking of Trevor Noah, he had some nice things to say about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, worth keeping in your bio.
it's really nice. I mean, like, I've been doing comedy, like, for just over 3 years now.
Yeah.
So, for me, like, even to be here, that's why I'm so grateful and saying things are nice. You know, it's like, I'm like very new in the space, and everything that's happening is just like so overwhelming, and it's experiencing everything for the first time, first one man show, first this, first that. So for me, it's just really nice to be in the space, and comedy is really nice as well.
You are a politician.
Yeah.
They asked you about Trevor. You know, it's nice.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's nice.
I was actually wanting to know from you about how you found your comedic voice.
Yeah.
Because I'm starting to get a sense of it the more you go on. But how did you find that voice? As you said, it's been 3 years. You were coming from outside Johannesburg and from Lebowakgom. And the industry, so many industries, of course, the heart of them are here. So you were coming from sort of an outsider's perspective.
Yeah. Well, not
how did you find your voice?
Well, I was living in Johannesburg for a while. You know, I moved there because my mom got married to my stepdad.
Mm.
And, you know, because... You know, some fathers don't want to read.
Some fathers, okay.
Some fathers are not nice.
Can we forget that word? You're taking me back to my English lessons.
Yeah, so I moved here.
My English teacher said, nice, don't use nice and a lot.
Yes.
Those two words, you must scrap them from your vocabulary.
Yeah, so then so I had to... So then I moved here a while back, and then I was studying. I was studying at Wits. So I come from game design. So I used to make video games, and while I was making video games, I was very sad. Like, it was a happy place, but I was like one of the first black people to do it. So I got frustrated with being tagged with the black line every single time. First black person to do this. Even when I would do like normal things, like past second year, they'll be like, they'll be like the first black person to be in third year. I'm like, of course, I mean, everyone else.
I feel like there are lots of those.
When I started comedy, it felt like the only place where I can actually tell a story of like how like awkward I am and all these things, and how I'm naive and all this stuff.
And embrace the awkwardness.
Yes, and embrace it.
And have it be your thing.
Yeah, okay. And other people come and, you know, listen to the stories and, you know.
But did you initially not want it to be there?
Where? In game design?
No, the awkwardness. Did you initially try to not be your awkward self and model something else?
Of course. I mean, it's more socially acceptable to be, you know, like not awkward. You know, like you know, like it's nice. Everybody embraces you and everything.
And then did someone actually say, no, Sisi, be that. That's what will get you.
I think when you're on stage, when you're more yourself, when you're more authentic, people are more. They generally like attach themselves to you, like Robbie said. Like, people are not like interested in, like, they're interested in what I have to say.
Yes,
but they're more especially like, that's why they follow issues. You on Instagram. Well, I don't have daddy issues. My stepdad was great. Shout out to Noel Chumia.
Listen, I've got to take the headlines. Gladys is ready with the headlines. It's 29 minutes to 3 o'clock, as you can hear. It's a different kind of masterclass today, masterclass in comedy with Mpo Pops, Robbie Collins, as well as Tsitsi Chumia. And if you want to kind of audition for them, ask them a question or two about how to break into it, how to develop your material, they're here. Yeah, you are here for that. Especially
they
with you.
They must audition.
They must
call in audition. We are here. We've three judges. We'll give them proper feedback and advice.
Yeah, I've seen you be mean to people walking into an auditorium minding their own business just because they were late. So as a judge, you are forewarned, but why not take a stab at it? Ask them any questions that you may have about comedy, breaking in, and of course, the material itself. 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs.
702 Masterclass.
It's 24 minutes to 3 o'clock. Gosh, we are now past the halfway mark for today's masterclass, which is all about comedy. And we're learning about comedy through, of course, these three comedians in studio. And Paul Pops, who has a show this coming weekend. Robbie Collins, when's your show, Robbie?
Next, on the 6th and 7th in Cape Town.
Oh, September. Fantastic. Yes. And then Tsitsi Chumia, who's just come off a one-man show. You have not left.
Well, I'm going to Durban and Zambia.
Oh, right. It's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Let's go to Fred Kumal. Oh, one of my favorite columnists. Hello. How are you?
Hey, Azania. thank you for taking my call.
A pleasure.
And thanks, guys. I'm really, truly enjoying your show. But you guys are not being honest. You make this thing seem and sound so simple, yet it's really, really tough.
Mm-hmm.
I remember some years ago when I still had the Sunday Times column, being invited on the Trevor Noah show, the
yes.
local mm-hmm. thing, before he went over there. Now, he thought it was funny. So he invited me to the studio, and I had all the lines in my head. And once I got to the studio, I just froze. The lines evaporated. I was in a huge embarrassment. So I really, really, I really admire you guys. So I'm going to stick to my writing, and you guys yes. can take my writing if you want. And put
please, my little friend, please.
Please. Because,
thank you very
because
much.
You do write, your columns and your writing is very, very humorous. You know, parts of your books, of course, and even the columns. So you're saying it doesn't translate the same?
Yes.
I do not think so. I'm long-winded, I think. And I'm forgetful of my lines and all that. So I really admire these guys.
So, my friend, interesting you should say. One of the things that hasn't picked up in South African stand-up, I'll say, if you look at overseas, the reason why guys like Kevin Hart and Trevor and all these people are making it onto those lists is because they actually have a team. So, Rona, we actually do our writing ourselves.
Solo,
we perform.
Yeah.
So we just solo act here in South Africa. So I think in order to get the industry to the next level, we need to start looking into partnering with writers. If you look at someone from as early as Richard Pryor.
Yeah.
Richard Pryor had Paul Mooney. He had a couple of writers. So comics that actually are on a global scale, huge comics, mm-hmm. actually have teams of writers.
Mm-hmm.
Because in any team, you got to realize your strength. So when just because you can't deliver the material does not mean that material is not funny.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you, Papa Fred.
One word to Robbie.
Yes.
I'm also a Devonite. I've been here for the past 29 years.
Oh, nice.
Do you think I'm going back? No.
Go back.
They are so nice and everything, but I'm not going back.
Thank you so much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
He's a great writer. And I just love his work, love his columns, even his posts on Facebook, you know? And he just does it with so much heart. But let's just unpack what he's just said there for a moment. Because, Robbie, you write as well.
Yes.
Right. So you've managed to do both. Who do you, when we say you write, even though you deliver your material without writing it down, you write material for content?
Yes, I've done like the Late Night with Louis Ogola and then Bantu Hour.
Mm-hmm.
And
with
Kagiso. Yes, with Kagiso, who's amazing. And then I also helped Trevor out with his last one, Gupto Mastup.
Yeah.
And just like over the years, but it's more, you know, when they say writing and comedy, it's what happens after the show is probably the most important.
Yes.
Of the night. So it's just a bunch of comics. It's not everybody, but it's the people you have your cliques or you have the people that you trust with information or advice over your comedy. And you go through people's jokes and you're like, yo, if you do that, it will work or say that or why. Or sometimes there's content where you're like, this joke doesn't work for me. I've thought up something but I think Pops will say it better or Titi will say it better.
Oh, so you pass on, you donate to each other?
Yeah.
Like a songwriter will write for somebody else.
So it's not like official,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Yes.
I know there's the official writing where guys write jokes and like, this is a thing.
Mm.
But it's more like, yo, I think you should say this and it will help your joke. And
You can add this,
you
and
can add
that bit or use this as a callback.
But you know what Fred was saying about going on the Trevor show and he had jokes that he thought were prepared.
Mm-hmm.
The whole thing is, comedy, when you see a comedian kill on stage, that's a success. Then you get a comedian bomb or die.
Yes.
So Fred, in comedy terms, died in that interview, in his head.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know why all these terms are so violent.
Yeesh.
But like,
destroy, demolish,
murder,
harvest.
Okay, we move past nice. Yes. Wider vocabulary.
A good comedian will make comedy seem like the easiest thing.
Yes. Yes.
And a bad comedian will make you never want to pick up
feel
a mic.
Like work.
Because I've seen comics and they just like, they seem like they're gliding. They're on a wave. And then you see comics, you're like, this looks painful for you.
Let me read this tweet. And on that note, in fact, Lee, my Mela, says, oh, no. We went to a destination wedding. By the way, we need to talk about destination weddings. Went to a destination wedding and one of the guests was a comedian. The guy was so unfunny. Not one joke for a week. I was waiting, hoping, nothing. Nix dololo. That's what he said.
That happens.
Yeah.
Comedy's in a rock star phase right now. When Pops and I started, I call it pre-Trevor Noah phase.
Yes.
Now if you say you want to be a comedian, we just saw Trevor's number 4 on Forbes list.
Yeah.
Most paid comedians.
Hey, 430 something.
Hey, yeah.
I'm still waiting for invoices to be answered from February.
At a zero.
In interest. Yeah.
Even when that invoice comes through, I'm not even...
So it's
a rock star phase. So the people who see comics now on television or making money, they join it and it seems very easy.
But it's hard.
Those guys disappear very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah. Those guys' ankles you need to love this thing. Because your first 2 years, you're not even seeing a cent from it.
Yeah.
You're performing simply for exposure. You're performing to get your confidence up, experience.
Stage time. Most valuable thing in comedy is stage time.
Oh, is it like
time.
Running?
I used to run.
Exactly you need
that.
To do all these other marathons. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And so how do you avoid the pitfalls? How do you manage your stage frights? How do you recover? Because an audience and being live on stage, you feed off the chemistry, each other's chemistry. You can sense in a
it's
room.
It's like a tennis game.
What Lee was describing.
You give back.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You can feel it.
Do you recover?
Every comedian here and in working in the world.
In the world, no
has
one
died.
Yeah, no one is exempt from a bad night.
Everyone.
Doesn't matter who you are.
Mm.
At the height of your, a Dave Chappelle, a Trevor Noah,
all of
Kevin Hart, there's nights where they will die.
Yeah.
And that's something you need to make peace with. And you
did
get
you
someone like.
Did you want to hide after that?
You do. Other comics don't even want to speak to you. Yo, dying is the worst.
Yeah. Other comedians don't even want to speak to you.
Yeah. Because the audience walks.
I'm no longer here. Yeah. You're a ghost. What are you doing speaking to us?
Yeah.
After you die, when you drive home, you don't even put the radio on.
Yeah.
You're just talking to yourself. Why am I even doing this?
you counsel yourself.
You counsel yourself. I left Limpopo for this.
I'm the only one from Limpopo here.
Ah.
And the worst part, the audience walks by and says congratulations to those who did as well. Mm. Congratulations.
Robbie, you were amazing. Oh, Pops, you know. I mean, always.
there are ways of giving feedback, you know. So what did you think? It was interesting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Look at it.
It was nice.
And also now
is he new? I could tell.
Yeah, I could tell.
Also, we're living in the world of social media. So bombing on stage is already hard, like hurtful, and it's heartbreaking. But now you can go home and forget about it and someone will tweet you. What nonsense were you doing?
Yeah. Someone's tagged you.
Hey, man. How can you follow me home with this thing? Like, I know it went bad. This is the thing. You don't have to tell a comedian it went bad.
They know.
Yes. We know in 2 minutes. If we have a 20-minute set.
So what do you know. do to recover now? How do you
try? So this is the cool part. Now, I think Pops and I, 11 years of comedy. Or
yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
Now you build material. So you have 2-3 hours of material. So when the show's going bad, you go, I'll throw this at them. If they don't like this, I'll throw this. Then you just go, okay, it's time to leave.
Yeah.
But in the beginning, when you have maybe 15 minutes of material, you do 15 minutes of material in 3 minutes because you're talking so quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you're trying to rush to the funniest bits of that 15 and then you realize they haven't laughed at anything. And you're like, what am I going to say now?
What now?
That's the scary part.
That's real death.
And you're like,
you hear your heart beating.
Oh, you hear everything. You hear the orders at the bar. Mm. You can hear everything.
I don't know what's with that voice. You keep doing that voice.
That's what you hear. That's the actual thing you hear.
Right.
You're dying.
Titi, how did you find it?
Me, death.
Especially after dealing with the aftermath of like just.
No, like, to be honest, like, I haven't died, like, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, but maybe the one time, it was tough, like, to take, especially when you're young, because you, like, you're trying to impress the crowd. Mm. Also, you're trying to impress the comedians, because those are the people initially that are booking you before you get booked by, like, actual companies.
No, it's like a club that you want acceptance into.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And no one talks to anyone that's not funny, right? So, like, and it's tough because it's, like, very...
You guys are like kids on the playground.
No, but it's like that in any industry. Like, even, like, Casper Nyovest or, like, you know, Casper Nyovest doesn't hang around some guy that, you know...
Say the name.
Him. What's his name, also known as?
I know a friend of mine is a rapper as well. You know, Casper doesn't hang out to that guy because they don't make the same caliber of music. My friend should, you know, try other things, you know, like. I love him, but, you know.
Yeah, it's
tough.
Rap
nice.
Tough. Real talk.
One mango.
Real talk.
You know what I'm saying? So, like.
But just to wrap it up, one of the things we've always been taught from the beginning is never let a good performance go to your head and never let a bad performance go to your heart.
Right.
And that's the thing that keeps you sort of grounded. So dying just basically means you have a second opportunity. We have a career where you can literally die and come back.
Mm.
So it just gives you an opportunity to come back. And when you kill, don't let it go to your head. Because one day a death will bring you back. It will humble you.
Wake up from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break and then we'll take more of your calls and comments with my comedians this afternoon. And we've got Mpo Pops in studio, Robbie Collins, as well as Tsitsi Chumia.
702 Masterclass.
It's 10 minutes to 3 o'clock. It's hard to believe that time is almost up because this afternoon we're bringing you a masterclass on comedy and I see no one has taken our offer to get advice and help from the three comedians who are joining me here today. So, guys, just a few more things. Material. We touched on it at the start a little bit about this earlier on. And the response that I always get about this is that inspiration is everywhere. Yeah, totally. So how do we have our eyes open, you know, to just see things and you see it differently, see where the material is, where the story is. I used to love telling stories, by the way, but I sucked at it. My friends used to tell me we'd be around the dinner table and I would try and tell them something funny that happened. And I swear by like line 4, they can't wait.
But you see, those are good friends. Because look, you're doing well now.
Do comedy. Exactly.
See, they push
like
you.
Just like you did for your friend in hip-hop.
They'll push you in the right direction.
Yeah. So material gathering, though, and development. What does that process look like?
We've been blessed. Hashtag blessed. We've been blessed with a third eye. So... The third eye means, you know, they say people look at the world like this.
Yeah.
Comics just like look at it flat, a little 2D. Bit. Little bit tilted. Same image, we just tilted a bit.
Right.
Like when we first walked in and I noticed our pretty lady over there wearing a lime green anaconda top. I'm like, there's no lime
green. Snake skin
there's
print
no
top.
There's no lime green anaconda. No, it's a beautiful top, but my mind has gone into high.
And I'm thinking about snakes.
I'm thinking about a car god snake. There's so many things.
It's directing all the other snakes. Hose up, which hose, 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 hose.
Sling her here, Donna.
Sling this way.
So there's material everywhere. There's material in everything that we do. And I think to Robbie's point, as comics, you need to be as much as yourself on stage as you are in real life. And that's what comedy is. It's about you being completely vulnerable to your audience.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, what people are most afraid of is the truth. And with comedy, you got to be honest.
Yeah.
You can't lie. You can't fabricate. You can't say, you know, like rap, you can go, I've got these Rolls Royces. I've got, and in the meantime, you are leasing things and you are, in comedy, you tell the truth.
Rappers speak about a life you aspire to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Comics speak about your life.
Right now.
Right now, we're not talking about one day we can, no. What is happening now?
Now.
Yeah.
Like there's, I think also that's the timing of things you, like this, first of all, I think you got to just start off on you, and then from there you realize that you can give opinions about things in, that's happening in the world. But like this, the older you get in comedy, the more respect you get. Because people, I know there's jokes I used to do when I started off, and you're too young to tell older folks.
Yeah, certain things, right?
Yeah. Your opinions on politics or whatever. Mm. You haven't got enough street life in you to actually tell an older crowd, yo, this is what I think about politics. Mm-hmm, then the older you get, the more they listen to you.
Mm.
You know how to explain yourself, so you get more confident in certain places.
Yeah.
So it's all like the development. And then I remember when Double HP passed away, and there's a comic who went on stage, and it was the same day, and everybody was sad.
Yeah.
And he just went on and started telling us stories about him and Double HP on tour.
Yeah.
And immediately the audience just lightened up. It was like, okay, cool. You know, you go like...
So like you said earlier, you've got to know how to read people.
Yes.
And really tap into something that's just in the air. It's like the chemistry of the air and tap, just plug into that.
And the room, the DJ kept on playing Double HP's music, and it felt like a funeral almost.
Yeah.
And he broke that joke and started telling us about Double HP as the person we know him as, this great musician.
Mm.
And immediately it was like, yeah, we can celebrate the thing.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Mm. So it's certain timing that just works in your favor, but you've got to be able to read it.
You've got to be able to.
Because you can also say something and mess up that whole moment.
Yeah.
Yes. You know what I mean?
I think you also have to know yourself. You know, like, you have to know how other people see you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people see me as a childish person. So, like, if I tell grown folk jokes, you know, it's not going to work.
You know? So there's the persona. We were talking about defining and finding your voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, developing a persona. So you found your persona.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like, this grown boy.
And you know how people perceive you.
Uh-huh.
So they look at you as, like, this nerdy person. Or, you know, like, especially, like, white comedians, sometimes they don't realize how we see them.
Mm.
And they start saying on stage, like, you know, being broke is like, then we're like, what do you mean?
What are you saying?
Oh, growing up poor, I'm like, hey. So they don't know how we see them, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, is just be very aware of how people perceive
you. Yes, and I guess you also have to make a lot of judgment calls on the spot.
Totally.
Who to tease.
Yes.
Oh, you've got to know when to stop teasing a person.
Oh, really?
Yes. Otherwise, like they will burst.
You're dealing with the guy with the low self-esteem, and he's there with this girl.
Yeah.
And you've got to know. You can see it in the person's eyes. You're like,
I'm not laughing
it's
anymore.
Enough now.
Yeah.
This is not.
Let me move on. And making fun of someone is an art form, because you have to do it in such a way that they find it funny too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just insulting that person.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that alone is an art form. And just on the subject of being on stage, you have to balance it out as well. So your prepared material, and you also got to feed into this magic that people believe comedy is. So if something happens, you need to have the ability to react to it now.
Yes.
You know, so there's a lot of improv that's attached to your current set as well.
So you have to develop a number of skills.
Yes.
Because what we see up there is all of them coming together in one package. But from the sounds of things, you have to develop a lot of different areas and a lot of different skills. Once someone wants to know, D_Punkster says, quick question, what makes you funny? Like, what makes someone funny? Or are you saying what makes them funny? Am I reading that right? Interpret, guys.
Hey, that question is weird.
What makes you funny?
Me?
Yes. I think that's what he's saying. A quick one, because I've got a...
What makes me funny? I don't know.
From Limbo.
I think it's just the whole package of, like, cool stories and...
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know, like, the specific thing, but I think I'm pretty nice.
And you, Robbie?
I speak my truth and I give my opinions, because there's many people out there who probably will never think I'm funny, and there's many who'll think I'm hilarious.
Yeah.
It's an art form. Not everybody likes Migos, not everybody likes Jay-Z, but they still succeed in their own way. And also, as an artist, like, I've gotten to that point where it's okay if not everyone finds me funny.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Because you go, like, the ones who do like you will be with you
for the ride.
For the rest.
For sure.
If I'm truthful to myself, I will always have a career.
Yeah.
If I'm chasing and trying to make every Tom, Dick, and Harry laugh, now I'm going to find myself always chasing. And when you're chasing, you know what I mean? Now
there's
you're
no
in their race.
In that. Exactly.
So,
pops.
I'm just weird.
One of Penny Penny. You're the son of Penny
weird.
Penny.
I've just evolved in weirdness over the years, and I'm addicted to laughter.
Okay.
I think that's what makes me funny, is that nothing brings me more joy than making someone else laugh.
Yeah.
So wherever I am, there just has to be laughter.
And that's this weekend with the 24th, yes. Right? Tickets still available?
Tickets still available at CompuTicket. Hashtag Black in My Day. The show is called Black in My Day. Tickets available at CompuTicket. We are at Gold Reef City at the Lyric Theatre this Saturday, 7:30. Make sure you arrive early. Doors close at 8. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Robbie. Thank you, Titi. Thank you for this masterclass.